America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. Hi everyone, I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. We bridge divides, we seek deeper meaning, and we answer life's most compelling questions from experts around the world. Because in a world of uncertainty and division within and out, we will need answers right here, right now. Join me and guests on America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. There is a positive resistance that persists throughout our humanity's story. It's the resistance that will not allow the dark to take over the light completely. It is the resistance fueled with passion, goodness, truth, and benevolence. It is for the benefit of all, and never just some. So in this moment of quiet reflection, when I think I resist, what do I mean? What do I wish to not nurture? And what do I wish to encourage to make humanity's story one of victory? To think I resist will never be enough. But I know I must change my own darkness that is within me. When I can transform my own dark into light, my negative state to a positive state, fear into love, this is positive resistance. As I weed out the garden of my mind, uprooting what is no longer a healthy thought, what intention or experiences of the past that no longer serve me or others, I can feel a positive resistance moving me upwards and forward. In this deep silent space of wisdom, I have the power to keep maintaining positive thoughts for the self, for everyone around me. It is in this gentle persistence that I am at peace inside. I'm able to observe the qualities needed to move out all traces of darkness into light, because I'm committed, convicted, and dedicated to a positive resistance inside, ushering through unstoppable positive changes in myself and in our world. Let me take this time to sit in the stillness and be silent. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was the incomparable Marvin Gaye, the incredible lyrics, and so timely. Those are the songs that remain timeless. They will always have a sense of deep validity to our spirits, to our souls. Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. Your 24/7 online go-to, pick me up, get me going, let me feel better radio show. I can't imagine the times that we're in and why it's such a beautiful age. It's an age of anxiety. It's an age of opportunity. It's an age of awakening. It's an age in which you don't want to go back to sleep. It is an age for you. For you. And until we can really understand the mechanisms of how we function as souls, how we function as a living being, how are we going to be able to really claim victory over the age that we're in? Each morning you and I will wake up wondering what's going to be in the news for that day. And we sometimes maybe shake inside, being very concerned that the first thing that we might see might jar the spirit, that natural essence of the spirit. And whether it does or not, we still have to find a place within our beings that we're whole. And I believe that the time that we're in, this specific segment of our journey, of our history, is a time of bringing everything to the surface that was lurking very deep in the subconscious, hidden from public view. And now it's coming to fruition. Look at what's going on with sexual assaults, with what's going on in Hollywood, what's going on right here in Washington, D.C. My empathy for the GOP party on the Hill, I can't even begin to imagine the state of awareness that they're in right now at a level of soul and spirit. And if you've been watching Senator McCain's journey, he's a man who's got basically a limited amount of time to continue playing his part. And listen to his narrative right now. He's speaking as a man with nothing to lose, and he's speaking from a place of the heart and what he thinks is right. So it's as if he's returning back to spirit, to soul, to that which is authentic and true and real, and is looking for ways to see how can everyone be benefited, how can everyone find a way to work things through. And when you really are coming from the base of your true self, a part of you that no longer needs healing, that part of you that no longer holds on to stories that have been touched, or hurt, abused, disrespected, dishonored. It's that part of you that's as innocent as a six-month-old or a one-year-old that you can relate to situations and circumstances with people with heart and also with head. You know, if you and I speak only from heart, the head's going to be in a spin because we still need directions on how to run things and how to make things go. And if you speak too much from the head and there's no heart, you might have all the answers to life's most complex situations. But if your heart isn't in it, you won't be inspired. And observe your life and see if you're able to maintain your own zeal, enthusiasm, and if you're inspired. Inspired to make something out of nothing. And even if something has been co-created, and it's no longer useful for you, it no longer serves you, to what extent can you re-inspire yourself to create something new, something that you can move forward with? Thank you so much for hearing my sharing and ranting on this morning, because I think that as we grow deeper in our own awareness of ourselves, we need to remember what's important. We need to understand where we're coming from. We need to understand who we are. Who are we? What do we want? How do we plan to get there? And if we don't understand where we've come from, how do we know where we're going? I leave that for you to ponder on. Here is a Native American Indian, Joseph Marshall, on Remembering the Way by Monique Rhodes.
When I was a boy, my maternal grandfather and I would go for walks along the Little White River on the northern part of the reservation. Walk all over. We walked along the river, over the hills, across the meadows, the prairies, wherever. And this occurred over a few years, in any season of the year. He just liked to walk. He liked the physical activity to walk, and he liked to look at the land. He liked to point things out to me. And I paid attention. But there was something that he did. We would stop every now and then. And he did this frequently. We would stop and he would grab me by the shoulders and he would turn me around and he would make me look at the trail the way we had come to this point. And he would say, remember that trail. Remember the way we came. And I doo-doo for you said, yes, Grandpa. He did this a lot. Finally, when I was 7, the year before I went away to school, I worked up the nerve to ask him, well, Grandpa, why are you saying this? Why are you making me look back? And his answer was simple enough, and it fell into place for me years later. He said, one of these times I'm going to send you back down these trails by yourself. And if you don't remember the way, you will be lost. To me, that is a statement about our past. That big quantifiable past that is there, that is larger than anything in our lives. If we don't know how we got to the point that we are as individuals and as a society, but especially as individuals, then we're lost. Because we don't know where we came from. Not the flamboyant warrior with the feathers in his hair and lance in his hand, which is an iconic image that everybody has of Native people. No, that's not what we were about. That's only part of what we were, only a small part of what we were as people. The other part is compassion and having a purpose and taking care of each other. Those were the most important things. So that's why ancestry is important to me. That's why ancestry should be important to everybody. No matter who we are, whether we're Native or not, no matter what our culture is, no matter what our society is, no matter what our standing in the community is, I don't care what we do for a living, ancestry is important. You have to know the trail that you came down to be at the point that you are as an individual. You have to look back at that trail, the road that you have walked with your ancestors, their values, the kind of people they were, the kind of mistakes they made, the kind of accomplishments they had. They're all a part of me. All of that is part of who I am.
Thank you, Native American Joseph Marshall, remembering the way. And that's what our conversation was about. Maybe we've lost our way. Maybe we don't remember that the core of consciousness, the core of the conscience, the core of the conscience, which is latent in every soul, is peace, purity, goodness, benevolence for all. And perhaps all of this usurping, this moving around, this watershed moment that we're going through nationally as well as globally is about that. It's about trying to remember what's at the base of our existence before we moved thousands of years later into the state where we're no longer taking care of the earth, we're not taking care of the animals, we're not taking care of each other, which means perhaps we haven't been taking care of ourselves. But we want to put an end to that because we want to end a lot of the, I don't know, the lostness. You know, I love to make up my own world and words. This feeling of being so disconnected from ourselves and so really disconnected from each other. And it gives me great privilege to welcome my next guest on the air, Louis Gossett Jr. Louis is an actor best known for his Academy Award-winning performance in An Officer and a Gentleman. Though headed for a basketball career with the New York Knicks in the late 50s, Lou decided instead to pursue an acting career, making a huge early splash on Broadway in Lorraine Hansberry, A Raisin in the Sun. Remember that? In 1959. Lou, I wasn't even born then. But in 1983, he won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his performance in An Officer and a Gentleman. Louis also had great success on television, earning Emmy and Golden Globe Awards. Now, he founded the Eracism Foundation. It's to address the bigger picture by establishing Shamba Centers, and Shamba is the Swahili word for farm. These centers, located throughout the United States, will be offering instruction in cultural diversity, historical enrichment, and anti-violence initiatives for young adults, teens, and preteens. Now, the foundation wants every person of African descent, as well as other ethnicities, to be exposed to this powerful holistic wisdom and to use it peacefully in support of humanity everywhere in the world. Today, we're honored to welcome our wonderful brother, Louis Gossett Jr. Thank you for joining us today, Lou.
My highly pleasure, highly honored to speak to you, Sister Jenna. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm looking forward to the relationship, to sharing like thoughts about the salvation of us all together.
There we go. Amen to that. Amen to that. Let's begin by me saying how talented I know you are. Your acting career has gone over 5 decades and nearly 200 acting credits to your name. And I know you're not counting. But what was it? What moved you into acting? Because you could have been a basketball player. I could have been sitting and watching you on CNN or MSN.
Well, just things. You know, back in the day when I was invited to the Knicks, didn't have those big salaries. Like, you know, the highest salary was $124,000 a year. That was Bob Cousy. Today might have been a different decision because they're millionaires today. But I wrote a book. It's called An Actor in the Jump. And I had to get rid of some of the poisons in the system and confess and talk about how close I'm getting to what we're put on this planet to do. So I've been fortunate enough to travel and see other cultures at a young age. I went to Africa at 19, and I went to Israel in 20, and South Africa in 22, and different places, Mexico and Egypt. And I've been everywhere at a young age, very impressionable. It's quite school. Traveling is quite a school. And I've come up with a conclusion that whoever we believe in every philosophy that I've read, from the Bible to the Quran, some of the other, the Bhagavad Gita, I can't say it quick five times, Bhagavad Gita, and all of things. It always says that we are the number one most intelligent species, and our job, our main job, is to caretake of this planet.
Hmm.
Make sure that the animals are safe and healthy, the weather is regulated, the ecological rhythm of the rains and the plants and the movings of the stars and the moons and the, what when to plant, when to pull up stuff, when to feed the animals, when to keep under control the worth of the earth, how our children are expected to behave at certain ages. And it's a tribal kind of thing where everybody has got a job to do, first and foremost for the benefit of us all. That's how the oldest culture ever discovered by Professor Leakey was found that the oldest skull was at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. So, and connecting the emigrant dots of history, I realize how far away from that movement we have become.
Yes,
so
yes,
people have
yes.
got the biggest clubs and the most fire and the largest weapons, and they all of a sudden come to the false concept that they are in charge of everything. And you know the history books are full of them. But we all seem to be coming full circle to this one control. No human being is in control of another human being. And we're at our best when we have that original philosophy of what we do is for the benefit of us all. And I think America was created that way. The American Indian was created that way. The tribal people all over were created that way. Otherwise, the tribe could not survive. There was no money, no gold, no... and everything, you know, after 3 years, you expected to gather your eggs or whatever, and you put it in the middle of the entire tribe would eat. And then a little older, you can milk your goats and the cows, and everybody would have that. And when you're a little older, you took care of your animals and make sure everything was good, and you got become a man. But in Africa, you had to kill a lion with a spear to prove your manhood. Of course, you get your all your manhood and the women, and everything was expected at certain ages, and everybody survived. We're the most intelligent species, and it was incredible. And that's been broken up.
Tell me something, Lou. What are you thinking about the kneeling that's happening in the NFL? Because perhaps if you were heavily into the sporting industry right now, it would affect you tremendously because the conversation has been deflected from the reason behind the kneeling was about live up to the flag, live up to what this flag stands for, equal rights and the pursuit of happiness for all. What were your personal feelings when you began to witness what the kneeling was about and the conversation that ensued after that?
Well, I agree with the kneeling 100%, but I disagree as an elder with the target of the national anthem. I think we have a window here because the worst resentment that anybody can have that I found personally as well as is the one we feel justified to keep. Because I'm black, I don't get this, and I don't get that, and I'll show you. It's totally self-destructive. Nobody has to do anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best thing that, just by suggesting, the best thing that those particular people object to in inequality is to be the best American on the planet. Because what is said in the statue and the Declaration of Independence and in the National Anthem and in the Pledge of Allegiance, it's pretty nice. I don't know what happened to those people who wrote it, because they weren't like that.
Yeah.
But God took their hand and wrote these beautiful, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal unto God by our Creator. There's certain inalienable rights, and among those rights, life, liberty, which is gorgeous. So, and then the National Anthem, of course, the French has got key, and that's okay.
What's happened? What's happened to our consciousness? It's as if the soul and the body, the conscience, has gone to sleep.
It's less than what those men wrote.
Yeah, it feels like the world doesn't have a lot of Nelson Mandelas, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther Kings anymore.
They impressed me. Oh, they're all over the place because they died for a certain reason. We must take out lessons from those Kennedys and those Dr. Kings. And Nelson Mandela, of all people that I got a chance to speak with for about 15, 20 minutes, about 18 of it, I was dry mouth. I was in South Africa, and we were getting ready to do something. We were getting ready to do the celebration of his presidency. So he said, you want to ask me a question, what is it? So I told him the entire world was frozen because they know how you were when you went in. They knew, especially the young people in Africa, ready to sharpen their weapons. And everybody had their suitcases. They were ready for a huge bloodbath, and you came out there with a smile on your face, and you caught everybody off guard, and you went straight to the clerk and went into a room to speak about getting rid of apartheid. Oh, which is one of the big things for me to get rid of racism for once and for all. Because apartheid, racism, automatic assumption of superiority will destroy us eventually. And those people who are practicing it will eventually have to come to those of us who are not practicing for our mutual salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The history has done that. So now my suggestion to those young people who are really justifiably upset at inequities, now we have the window of opportunity to be the best Americans possible. I'm an American African. They're American Irish, an American Indian, an American Jew. Those things that were written in the Declaration of Independence have not been practiced. If we assume the practice of what has been written internally and through our spirits and our actions on a daily basis, it's amazing what miracles happen. We become that country that people came here originally for.
The freedom,
automatic assumption of freedom, of absolute freedom. That's why people came here in the first place. And we were at our best right after the Depression because everybody was poor. And everybody helped one. There was a great president who did that. There was a building, there was lines, so people could drink and eat. And America became a very solid country. And from there, it built. And then the other time it was building and broke down is when they had integration. Because those people who had separate but equal had successful universities and no violence in the streets, no drugs. They had to hide in alleys to do that. And it was very well exemplary. The universities and the history makers came out of there. And we made a mistake, we African-American people, by abandoning that and going for what we thought after integration, which was better than what we had. So what is missing is us going back to those roots and being very quiet and very justifiably comfortable. And we have the answer for the salvation of us all.
Well, let's talk about your humanitarian work because you started a foundation called Eracism, and its mission is tremendous. I need our listeners to hear more about the foundation and what it's actually doing.
Well, I take a message out of the Jewish neighborhood. If you go to a Jewish neighborhood in every city in the world, you see some very things that keep them very strong. They have a synagogue, and once a week they go into that synagogue, and once a week that entire family gets together, wherever they are. And they stay connected. And when they come out of the synagogue, they have lights in their eyes, and they aspire to be incredible, inclusive citizens of where they are. In that neighborhood, you can almost eat off the ground. You have your doctors, your lawyers, your teachers, and they teach one another. Each one teach one. There's certain concepts. And if we follow that in American concept, we can't be touched. We can't. If we follow one nation under God, indivisible, We hold these truths to be self-evident. The American dream, which is gorgeous on paper and not practiced in real life, if we really do that and make an independent decision to practice all of us, the American concept that has been written by those forefathers who died writing it, we would follow the promise of the country, this great country. And we're not doing that, and now we have holes in our armor. But the American soup doesn't taste half as good without the full input of all the cultures that it takes to make that American soup proper. It's happening. It's happening in sports. It's happening in music. It's a wonderful thing to happen, and I encourage those young people to continue. But we need to be one nation, under God, or Allah, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And how do you do that? Start them in a school like a synagogue. I call it a shamba set. I teach all those kids of different groups their dress code, their respect for the opposite sex, their knowledge of their culture and someone else's, their spirituality, and their allegiance to this wonderful country at 8, and then let them go to school and go about their lives, and you'll see a difference. I already see the difference in a lot of ways anyway. So I'm here as an elder, doing what I do at my age, to do whatever I can, because I can't give it away unless I don't have it myself. So I have it myself. And I am an elder called Baba. And by example, I show them what's necessary. And so far, so good. The cell phones seem to go away. And they get quite a big audience here in the East Coast so far. I'm working with Harvard, now working at Pepperdine and SC, and it's getting bigger and bigger. Those young people are all ears. So that's number one.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
So
now I hear that you're coming. I hear that you're coming to Washington soon.
Yes, I'm coming to see Sister Jenna.
And
that's one of the things I'm going to do. But I'm also
going to be at the Kennedy Center, right?
Yeah. I'm going to the Kennedy Center, being one of the hosts of the concert from the Anti-Defamation League, which I've been working with for the last 5 years. And the concert is called The Concert Against Hate.
Is there a place that folks can go to get tickets at the Kennedy Center?
Right there at the Kennedy Center, or the Anti-Defamation League main office in Washington, D.C.
Fantastic. Lou Gossett, you are such a jewel. And even though you consider yourself an elder, you're still a spring chicken to me.
Well, see, what it is, it's amazing because people think it's something exceptional. But really, if you look at it, it's normal. We realize how far away from normal we've got. We used to meditate. We used to let the gods and run our lives. We used to listen to our elders. We used to do things for the benefit of others. There would be less homeless, less hungry people. And that action is normal. And we've gotten away from normal. So I encourage people to get back to normal, responsible for the children, the weather, the hungry, the homeless, the lost, and the natural for us. And we get stuff that's priceless.
Blessings to you. A website that they can get more information on, E-Racism Foundation?
Yes, eracismfoundation.org.
Splendid. You're blessed, my brother. Thanks so much for your good work.
Yeah, well, the last statement is that we're not doing, if we're doing anything else, we all may as well be in this 747 airplane. It's at 30,000 feet, and it's about to crash, and people inside the plane are fighting over who's going to be in first class. The plane is crashed.
Amen to that. So, wow.
Okay. Look forward to seeing you all and talking to you.
Same here. Thank you, Lou. All the best. Okay. Thanks for joining us on air. Bye-bye.
Thank
you. So, spoken from words of wisdom, everyone. It's time for us to come together. It's time for us to build farms where we can really begin to nurture our lives, nurture each other, nurture the animals. I'm vegetarian. I'm not vegan, but nurture the animals. Take care of nature. Take care of the spirit. As Lou was sharing, that we've moved so far away from the real norm, you know, the way of being kind, thoughtful, helpful. We used to support each other much more after the Depression. Everybody was poor, so everybody helped out each other. What's going on now? Do we have way too much that we don't want to even help each other? Or do we have to wait for a tragedy to actually reveal that love is at the base of every one of us? Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. We hope that today's show was inspiring, as it was for me. And if you'd like some information on Lou Gossett Jr.'s website, please go to Eracism Foundation. That's E-R-A-C-I-S-M, foundation.org, for more information. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. Here's Vanessa Williams, Colors of the Wind.
Has a spirit.